Emmanuel, that was so good. Go again.
3, 2, 1,
live.
Welcome back, everybody. You are listening to the Movement for Life podcast,
where we talk about ways to keep ourselves moving throughout our life.
This is a tired JR.
And this is an interesting Colby. I will be much more tired next week.
That's true. I don't know if I could get much more tired than this, so.
Beware.
Welcome.
Hello, hello. Welcome back. Yes. It's okay to be tired. Tired is part of life. That means you're doing things.
That's true.
And I want to know what things you were doing. How did you move last week, JR?
Okay. So it's been a very busy week. The Open is slowly killing me. Not from the workouts. It's just everything that's going into it with everything here and the other gyms. It's a lot of people to keep track of because on Friday, when most folks do the Open workouts, the CrossFit Open is what we're referring to, everybody. I had 9 hours of watching, judging, leading the CrossFit Open, including when I went. So that's a lot of time and energy that's put into supporting others and then me doing it. It's mentally and physically exhausting. Plus, we have a marathon coming up in a week.
Yep.
And so I'm tired. But I'm enjoying all of it. This is my absolute favorite time of the year. It's been so amazing seeing everybody go through the Open workouts and supporting them and seeing people either like the light switch coming on that they are able to do these workouts and any kind of trepidation they had before it started, it kind of slowly starts to go away and they feel like, you know what, I am in pretty good shape. And they are. They're ready to do, or we would not ask them to do it. So.
Totally.
Yeah. I mean, besides that stuff as well, I've just been working out every day. I've been trying to increase weight because I'm assuming that we're going to have some kind of barbell heavier lift. Maybe not. I don't know. I have no idea what we're going to see this week. I hope some gymnastics.
Yeah, I've been kind of thrown off every single week.
Yeah, it's been interesting. So with that said, just trying to balance safety, but increase some numbers so I can be prepared and also getting my runs in and doing therapy and mobility. But my body feels great. I have been so surprised and happily so that my back has not been giving me any problems. So let's just cruise. Let's keep going at this pace for me and we will be good. And what about you?
I actually got to play, did some more training for CrossFit Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday. It was a busier week for me, so I got to actually train a little bit less than normal. But over the weekend, I did the Open workout on Friday night, and I got to play some pickleball over the weekend, which was fun. It's a great time. I haven't played in a couple of weeks, so it was good to get back on the court. Definitely haven't been doing any running.
No running. Okay, that was my next question.
Nope. So we're going to see how next weekend goes. I feel good, though. You know, I'm a little bit sore from the Open workout. I was the most sore. We did a workout with 100 push-ups last week on Monday. Mm-hmm. I was sore until Friday.
Oh, really?
From 100 push-ups, yeah. Probably should do more push-ups.
Maybe you were just sore from all the burpees that you had done several days earlier, and it just kind of
lagging experience.
Yeah, probably. Maybe. That's what it was. Cool. All right, well, today we thought it would be appropriate to talk about follow-through because we are in the final week of the CrossFit Open, and we're already starting to see some people kind of lagging behind with getting their workouts done or putting their scores in. Maybe they just do their workout, but then they don't put the scores in or they're not getting that, you know, small things done. But I think talking about following through with when you set a goal, you set something that you want to do and accomplish, and as it gets closer to it, like, are you able to hold on and continue?
Yeah.
This goes really well with the fact that we have a marathon in a week. So we have been preparing mentally and physically for that as well. And not only is it follow through with the preparation, but then when we actually are doing it, are we going to follow through and continue actually doing the 26.2 miles? But this can be in any aspect of our life. It doesn't just have to be something physical. It can be relationship, work, something with your kids, just your word of somebody to somebody that you promise something.
Yeah. So I think it's kind of fun that we maybe center this episode around physical follow through, like physical activity follow through. But just like you said, like this will apply. I mean, if you practice this in one area of your life, hopefully the goal is that it'll bleed into the other areas as well, right? So
yes,
if you're better at follow through with physical activities, maybe you're going to be better follow through for your spouse or for your kids or for your boss or whatever.
Yeah.
So relevant for life too.
Yep. So I think I'm going to start off talking about reasons you may not be good at follow through. Mm. And then you're going to come through and talk about ways that we can improve that, things that we can do.
Yeah, that's great.
So
there's two sides to that, right? Of like, hey, there could be some things that I need to do better in order to be better at follow through. But then there's like, maybe there's things that I'm doing that are making me worse at follow through and I'm not even knowing it. Maybe there's two edges to that sword or two sides of that coin of like, hey, what could I be doing or what am I doing maybe that is keeping me from being good at follow through? And what are some things that I should be doing that would make me better at follow through?
Yeah. So I think some of the things that prevent us from following through are being unwilling to take action. So just getting the stuff done. You know, it's like you say, hey, on Tuesdays, I have this many miles to run. Are you getting up and you're preparing to do it? Maybe that means you have to meal prep or you have to get your kids' stuff for school laid out the night before, whatever's going to set you up to be able to actually take the action to do it.
Mm.
Another one is being stuck in a negative pattern. So that could be negative self-talk, not believing that you're capable of doing something, even though you may have trainers or people around you who are telling you, hey, I believe in you, you can do this. There's being unmotivated or failing to recognize a deeper motivation. So like, really, why are you doing this in the first place?
Yeah.
I think fitness-wise, for that one, people come into the gym and they say, I want to get into better shape or I want to lose weight. And just, you know, understanding what's the real motivation behind it? Are you wanting to be healthier and live a better life, or is just superficial? I just want to look good. So really understanding why you've set those goals and then not having the knowledge or the resources of support. So making sure that you're surrounding yourself with people who are going to continue to lift you up and motivate you and, you know, let you know, hey, you are on the right track, or I need to see you pick it up just a little bit.
Is there examples of that one? Of like, what would be examples of maybe a positive example or a negative example of people that you surround yourself with?
If you're talking about fitness, then you definitely want to have a group of people, either at the gym, friends that have the same like interests and they have those same things that they value, you know, having a healthy lifestyle, knowing that if I am not showing up at the gym, that I have people who are going to ask where I'm at, call me out. Hey, and not necessarily in a negative way, but just like, where were you today? We missed you. Having somebody just checking in on you. I think that plays a really important part in keeping people on the path. Sometimes just being asked about where you were is all it takes for, okay, I they notice that I'm not there. So that means a lot to me. But sometimes it requires a little bit more than that. It requires somebody to, you know, say, why were you not there? Like, is there something I can do to help you, you know, to make sure that you're getting to the gym or getting the work done? As opposed to having people in your life who don't share the same interests. And if we're talking about at home family, it can be really difficult for one person, you know, whether it's a husband or wife, someone in that family that wants to live a healthier lifestyle, but everybody around them is always eating junk food and nobody works out and they don't place the value in what you're doing and they think it's silly. So that can rub off on you. And after a while, it becomes easier for you to say, okay, I'm not going to do this, or I'm not going to make myself a different meal because it's more work, not only physically, but mentally, you're pushing against what everybody else is telling you should be the standard.
Yeah. So I think that maybe there's a place for like friends and family in there, but then you made it sound like, hey, somebody should be asking you like, hey, why weren't you showing up or why weren't you there? And that maybe that's not necessarily the place for a friend or the family, but instead a mentor or a coach or a counselor or somebody that's going to help you ask those harder questions of yourself, instead of maybe placing that burden on friendships or spouses, like, hey, you know, because then I know that this can be true in relationships. Like when your spouse tries to hold you accountable, they're like, oh, like I can never be enough for you. I can never, you know, you know, follow through. I'm always, you know, falling short. And, you know, even if that's not maybe your intention with trying to keep somebody accountable, sometimes it's hard to see that from a significant other of like, hey, I'm trying to be a support system for you, not like somebody to drag you down. So having somebody that's outside the spouse or the family relationship, that maybe is like seen as like a third party, right? Like they maybe don't have a bone to pick inside that, or bone pick's not the right word, but you kind of like they're in an outside perspective. They're not like on somebody's side or somebody, the other person's side. On the sides,
hey, that could put a big strain on a relationship if you're also relying on your spouse or significant other to kind of be your motivator. That can be really tough. So it's always nice when it can be somebody who is kind of removed from that really close relationship. And you can have a close relationship with your coach or your mentors, but it's a different kind of relationship that is not going to be as negatively affected or negative at all if they say, hey, you're not doing what you need to be doing. I need to see you do this, because you'll take it more personal if it's coming from a spouse or someone like that.
Yeah, for sure. That was cool. That was great. Was there anything else that you wanted to add as far as negative influences or reasons that you might be bad at follow through? I kind of just interjected. That like hit and I was like, whoa, that's good.
No, that's great. I think that I think you need to check in with yourself, have like a mental check-in, whether that is you're writing things down and kind of keeping track. I like have said several times that I love keeping track in a fitness journal, and I'm now kind of moving over to my iPad, and every day I have the list of things that I want to do when it comes to like working out, whether it is a specific workout that's on tap for the day, or I need to hit a strength component, or it's a certain amount of miles. And I also will have what my overall goal for the week is. Maybe it's like get through the week without an injury, but trying to push the intensity level for my squats or whatever. And just being able to then look back at it and see over the last week, I was like 90% of where I wanted to go. Or man, I wrote this stuff down like 2-3 days and I didn't even open my iPad those days to, you know, write down the results of the workout, and I don't remember what it was. So I think having some kind of way to track what you're doing and write down your thoughts. I'll write down, you know, today was a sluggish day. Like today I'll probably write down my mood ring is almost a filthy color brown, but not quite. So, you know, but I find on days where I'm like low energy like this and days when I just don't really want to work out are some of the best days. I go into the gym and I get so much more accomplished. Maybe it's because my expectations of what I think my body can do are lower. And as a result, the stress level is a little lower. And I tend to just really do well on those days. So I try not to take those days for granted and use those. And some days I, you know, when I know it's low energy, I go in and go, yep, that's about what I thought I'd be able to give myself and the output I gave, and that's okay, because at least I went in and I did it, because there's going to be times when we do feel good and then all of a sudden maybe mentally or physically we hit a roadblock, but we know that we can, hey, mile 23 in our 26 mile next week, that's where we're going to feel that. That's what I can kind of equate it to. So
cool. Did you mention one of the reasons that you suck at follow through, not you in particular, but maybe this is you. I'm just the proverbial you, is your inability to say no. Did you go over that?
No, I do feel like he's personally attacking me now. Okay. So,
that wasn't me though. You said that, not me.
I did. So on fellow.app. It's a website and it talks about follow through. And there's 12 ways to support your team, yourself. And the 12 things that it lists are: one, communicate often and regularly. And, you know, that could be with yourself or with people you're working with, your spouse. Offer regular check-ins. And I talked about like a personal check-in with yourself if it's internal or with somebody else. Review work frequently. So that's kind of what I do when I have my iPad and I'm looking through what I'm doing for the day and the week. And then I'll go back and review to see if I actually follow through with the things I had wrote down. Help prioritize tasks, you know, like what's the most important for your workout, your day, your week. Show interest in other things outside of that. So having more of a balanced life is, I think, I'm assuming is what this means. It's not just about work or just about working out. Plan goals, set the standard, be available. So that means if you are scheduled to work out at 9 o'clock class, then you need to make sure that you're available for 9 o'clock, scheduling other things around that. Provide learning opportunities, encourage accountability, celebrate the success, and make space for problem solving. There was another thing. I don't know where I saw that. And it did say to when you prioritize your tasks, you're not saying yes to everything. It's not on this list, but that is probably, we had talked about this last week with me, because you were asking me, are you just saying yes to everything that people ask you to do, or are you doing it because you want to? I just like to do a lot of things. So I don't have a problem telling people no, and Colby can probably tell you that because he'll ask me to do something. I'm like, but I do like to do a lot of things. So I tend to have a lot of plates. It's like that cartoon where like they're running from one stick, rolling the plate over on top, and they're going from one to the next. It's like, that's kind of me all the time.
Yeah.
But it's because of all that stuff I want to do. And sometimes I just have to recognize that I don't have the time to do everything that I want to do, and I should prioritize.
Yeah. Prioritize.
Yep.
Yeah. That was my thought of like, how do you change that? It's like, oh, maybe I can do more stuff, but I just have to prioritize which stuff I do when.
Yeah. I feel like this is going to turn into a BetterHelp commercial for JR. This is therapy in real time, folks.
No, it's good because I'm like, we all might need to hear some of this stuff. You know, it's not just you or not just me. Like we all could learn some lessons from hey, do we suck or are we good? Or like, can we do a check on ourselves on what does our follow through look like in the gym, or even what does it look like in our life? And
yeah,
so I don't think it's just for you. Well, I kind of found something that was pretty cool about some ways to help you be better at follow through instead of the opposite of that, of like, hey, you know, what are some reasons that maybe I'm not so great at follow through?
Okay.
And I liked this list. This was a list of five that I thought was like, oh, okay. Like if you could focus on a couple of these things, then maybe you get a little bit better at follow through. And something that I like to think about when trying to make any kind of changes in life is I'd rather add something to my life than try to take something away. And when I add something, maybe it squishes something else out that wasn't as high a priority for me, instead of trying to be like, oh, I'm going to take this out. I'd rather do it by saying, hey, I'm going to add this. And when I add this, it may mean that something else falls lower on the priority list.
So it's just naturally being replaced.
Yeah.
Okay.
So the first one is being honest about what you want. I think that's a really big one for follow through. Sometimes we start things as humans and they might have sounded cool at first, or somebody else might have convinced us to do it, and it might not be something that we actually want to do, or we're like fired up about, or you know, convinced that it was a good thing. And that could be even like exercise. Like we could go in and you know, someone else is like, hey, you know what, you need to be healthier and you need to exercise. and you yourself are not convinced of that yet, but you're like, ah, somebody else told me, and you're like, man, I'm just not consistent. I know I'm supposed to be, but you know, I'm doing it for somebody else. I'm not necessarily doing it because I feel like I need to do it.
Mm-hmm.
Or feeling like this is something that I want to do. So that's a big one, is being honest with yourself and kind of saying, hey, like, is this something that I want? Is this something that, means something to me? Is it important to me? And if it's not, like, understanding that maybe it's going to be much harder to do something where you yourself are not on board. Like, yeah, we talk about like friends and family and spouses, but if you aren't on board, it's probably going to be harder to follow through. The second one is understanding the sacrifice. I think this kind of goes with part one of, hey, you know, if it's something that you want to do, and if it's something that you do want to do, like, you should probably be sitting down and maybe listing out even like, what are some things that I'm potentially going to have to sacrifice or change about my life in order to make this happen. And if I look at the list of sacrifices, I might say, actually, you know what? I don't think I really want that. And like, part of knowing what you want is writing that positive list, right? Those pros. But the second part's like writing out the cons of something that you're potentially going to be following through on. Like, hey, what does that look like? And is that something that feel like I'm able to do? And if I'm not able to make those sacrifices, or I'm not confident I'm able to make those sacrifices, maybe I even like look into having a conversation with somebody else and saying, hey, this was the list of sacrifices that I came up with that I think is going to have to happen to do this. I don't feel like it's realistic. Do you feel like this is realistic for me? Or do you feel like this is doable for me? And maybe having a second opinion on something like that is super helpful. And I think one of the, that kind of goes with like being able to say no to things. Mm-hmm. So like somebody who typically says yes to things, maybe they aren't necessarily like looking at the cost. Sacrifice and cost is kind of like the same thing, in my opinion. And so then maybe they're not looking at the cost. They're like, yes, that's awesome. Yes, this is great. Yes, this is awesome. But then they don't realize that like, it's going to be an extra 5 hours a week, or it's going to be a night and a weekend day, or it's going to mean a time away from your family, which you didn't really think about when you said, yeah, I want to do this type of thing. So understanding those sacrifices is definitely something that you have to do in order to be good at follow through. The next thing is prepare for success. I think preparing for success starts with step one and two, is, hey, do I want to do this? And what's it going to cost me? Those are two great things for preparation. The other thing that I think is necessary for preparation for success with follow through is likely some sort of skin in the game, some sort of system, some sort of plan. So skin in the game could mean, hey, I sign up for something like a race wise, putting some skin in the game, signing up for a race like the LA Marathon. Like, hey, I paid for that race. Like, I'm more inclined to do it now that I'm signed up for it, rather than, oh, once it gets here, we'll see if I'm ready to do it. The second part is like, do I maybe hire a coach for a system? Right? Or buy a pro running program? Or do I hire a coach to help me guide through and make preparations for it? Like, maybe I'm like, hey, I have no idea what I'm supposed to be doing. I need to get some skin in the game and ask someone else what they need to be doing. And usually you should probably be looking at somebody or talking to somebody who has done the things that you want to do. That's not always like a bulletproof method for finding somebody, but more than likely you should be talking with people who are doing or have done the things that you want to do. Like, it wouldn't make sense for, I don't know, it wouldn't make sense for you to ask your mom to make you a plan for running half marathons if she's never run a half marathon before.
Right.
Like, she's not going to be very good at making a plan for you. She might be able to make one, whether it's a good plan for you or not is, you know, to be determined. Whereas, hey, if I talk to somebody who's run hundreds of half marathons, they're probably going to have a really good plan and be like, hey, this is, these are the things that you need to be doing. These are the things that need to happen in order for you to have a successful half marathon. So when making a plan for success, I think having some skin in the game, finding a system, or even like, I think making a calendar is a massive help for follow through, right? Mm-hmm. Whether it's a digital calendar or an actual written in calendar of like, hey, I know that I say this because this actually just came up on my calendar recently. I know that my dentist appointment is in April, and I got a notification in my calendar that like, hey, you need to make sure that you can go to this dentist appointment. Like, that's going to help my follow through, because otherwise I might schedule something else in that appointment time. Right. I didn't have it written down and in my calendar. So having things in your calendar can even be like a simple system for you to help with follow through. Hey, it's written down. I see it on a schedule. I know it's going to help me be able to do it a little bit better. The next two, giving yourself deadlines. And I think deadlines kind of feeds perfectly into that calendar. Calendars are probably one of the best ways to do deadlines. And I say that because calendars themselves are like deadlines on a piece of paper, right?
Right.
Like, hey, by this day, on this day, by this day, on this day, writing down things for those days. So that's a perfect way to do it. It doesn't necessarily have to be on a calendar either. You could say 30 days from now, this, 60 days from now, that. So it doesn't necessarily have to be on a calendar for like April 1st,
right?
But it could also be some other sort of deadline will help you follow through. I know for for myself and some others as well, I incentivize deadlines, which is kind of fun because that feeds right into our fifth one, which I'll talk about right now, which is incentivize yourself is a good way to keep yourself accountable. And some ways that I incentivize deadlines for myself is saying, hey, things have to be done no later than a date. Which means I could finish it before, and I don't have to be waiting all the way up until the very end of my, I call it a NLT, no later than date. Mm-hmm. And then I typically reward myself, like if I finish it well before my no later than date, I'm going to give myself this, or I'm going to treat myself to that, or I'm going to move to the next step quicker. When I talk about with athletes, I actually incentivize that on like a no later than basis as well, but typically on a monthly piece. And so sometimes I incentivize somebody else as a coach by saying, hey, if you come in and make this many classes in this month, I'm going to give you this. Now, if you do it 2 months in a row, I'm going to give you that. Now, if you can do that 3 consecutive months, I'm going to give you this. And where those incentives kind of grow each time. And if we can find some sort of incentive that's going to be a powerful incentive for ourselves, like everyone's going to have a different thing that they want. Like some people, it's going to be like a financial incentive of like, hey, I would really love this to be my prize. And some people might be like, man, I just want like a cheat day as an incentive.
Right.
Maybe I'm like, I'm trying to eat healthy. And if I eat healthy for 14 days, then I've earned a cheat day and that's my incentive. And if I can do it for, you know, 21 days or 28 days, then I can earn myself 2 cheat days. Like maybe that's a powerful incentive, but you got to think of like, hey, what's going to be meaningful to you as an incentive? And then go ahead and take it. And sometimes it's easier for a coach or a mentor to create those incentives for you instead of you trying to create those incentives for yourself. Because we might ask ourselves like, I don't know, like nothing's really, I don't really want anything. Like nothing's going to make me do this better. And then maybe a coach or mentor says something and you're like, oh, that actually sounds nice. Like, oh, coach said they're going to buy me a massage if I do this. Like, oh, wow, maybe that would be good. Like, let's try to do that. So I think incentivizing yourself or using your support system to incentivize for you is another way that you're probably going to be able to follow through a little bit better.
Nice.
So I'll kind of review those really quick one more time, because I think those are five great tools for being better at follow through. Is being honest about what you want, not only like being honest in life, but like being honest about what you want. Hey, is it something that you want or is it not something that you want? Because if it's not something that you want, follow through is going to be a lot lower. So have that hard conversation early. Part of that hard conversation is understanding the sacrifice. Number two, ask yourself, hey, what are the cons of me saying yes to this thing? Prepare for success. Number three, which might mean calendars, it might mean coaches, it might mean financials, systems, programs, something like that. Number four, give yourself some deadlines. Again, we talk about calendars with that. And then incentivize yourself, whether it's yourself or your systems are incentivizing you, meaning your spouse or family or coach or mentor is incentivizing for you. Creating some incentives will help you follow through a little bit better as well. So
nice.
Yeah. Those are my kind of five. Was there any that stuck out to you that you're like, oh man, that would be good?
Yeah, I do love like a calendar, like going into very similar, writing down like in my fitness kind of journal. And yeah. It's like kind of like now looks like a calendar, but it has places for me to write my workout, food and stuff, but it has things for me to do that day. So kind of prioritizing that is great. And then, for me, the big one would be understanding sacrifice, how this is going to not only take up my time, but my family's time away from me, or the commitment, the time commitment that it's going to require for me to do that. Though I always feel like I have the time to do it, but then the struggle is finding time for my family as well to make sure that I have enough for them, which is always something I have to be better at remembering.
Yeah.
What about you?
Yeah, my final like question, I think you kind of just segued straight into that, which I was like, great, cool. Like, what are some ways that each of us feel like we're good at follow through, and what are some ways that each of us feels like we're not so great at follow through? I think for me, sometimes I struggle with follow through when I don't prioritize. I think sometimes I write a really big list. I'm like, oh man, this is how I'm going to follow through on these things, is I'm going to write them all down. And then I write them all down and I'm like, man, I got 30 things.
Yeah.
And I don't necessarily make like a top priority, middle priority, low priority on that list. And then I sometimes get paralyzed with how much is on the list.
Yes.
And so I struggle to get meaningful amounts done, where I'm like, hey, I worked on pieces of this, and pieces of this, but I didn't actually finish any of them.
Right.
So I think I could be better at prioritizing, which maybe that's saying no to some things, and maybe that's understanding sacrifice on some of them, or making a plan, right? Maybe I would do a poor job of making a plan. I start the plan by writing everything down, but I don't finish the plan by prioritizing it. And then something that I feel like I have gotten better at since owning the gym is saying no to things. Because I remember being an employee, and I remember constantly having ideas and be like, oh man, I have this great idea. And I want to do this and I want to do that. Even before I worked here, and I was always like, let's start new thing. Let's like start this new thing. And then when I took over as owner and people started coming to me with great ideas, I was like, no, we can't do this. No.
Yeah.
And I started like understanding why all my previous bosses and employers were like, Colby, calm down. Like, we don't need another thing. We don't need another thing. I'm like, but it would be so great. And they're like, yes. We don't doubt that. I don't think it's something that I truly understood until being an owner. And I think the biggest part for that was like that list just grew massively on things to do. And so you have to start to learn how to like say no to things. So that's something that I've gotten better at. I don't think that's my strongest suit, but definitely something that I've gotten better at as far as follow through is like, hey, if I can say yes to less things, I know that I can follow through on more of them.
Yeah.
So, did you have anything you kind of, teased like some of those, did you have anything else that you wanted to add to that?
I think that I'm going to take the five things that you gave us today and see how I can apply them in everything I need to do this week. Because this is the final week of the open, so we have a lot of stuff to do at all the different gyms. And
love it.
Just prioritize the tasks. And you know I love a good idea. I'm yes. always coming to you with, hey, yes. we should do this or whatever. We have to focus in on what we're doing because we're almost at the finish line, so we want to finish this well.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, we want to follow through. Boom.
Yeah. So tonight we have another podcast. Who is a special guest tonight?
Mr. Pat Barber, OG CrossFit extraordinaire from NorCal CrossFit way back in the day. Seminar staff, long, long time, maybe 10 plus years, maybe 2008, 2009. Owner of several different things, WooWo affiliate programming, outside the box programming. I think most recently he's been working with Best Hour of Their Day for business mentorship and the knowledge, I believe it's called. So how do we create better coaches? Which is an awesome topic. I love that topic. But Pat has been in the CrossFit space for a very, very long time, and I'm excited to have him on tonight and give us his thoughts on 24.3.
Yes.
And maybe some a little bit more about him and his open experiences and things like that.
Yes, I'm excited for the release of the final workout. Colby, if there's one thing that you are praying and hoping that will be announced in a workout, what would that be?
I'll do bar muscle. I like bar muscle ups or handstand push ups. I'll take either of those. I'm just praying that there's not a heavy barbell.
I also would like some gymnastics. I'm thinking maybe like a pull up, chest to bar, muscle up, like ascending ladder in difficulty.
Yeah, I would love
something like that. The programming that one of the other gyms did this morning was three different rounds. Each round, the weight in the thruster increased, the rep scheme decreased, but the move on the bar that accompanied it was increasing. So it went from like toes to bar to chest to bar to muscle ups. So something like that would be great.
I would love that.
And even if it's like the thruster is at 95, 115, 135, like, okay, that's fine. Like we can do that. That's good.
Yeah, that's doable.
I think that we're going to see either a lot of happy people or a lot of really sad people.
Yes.
But that's any week that they're announcing an open workout.
Yeah. I'm excited for week three to be done.
So tune in tonight for that special episode. Otherwise, good luck on everybody that is competing this final week of the open 24.3. And we will see you next time.
Follow through.
Follow through. Let's see if my computer will follow through with playing our outro.
Okay. Good.
Good job, Emmanuel.
Go again.
Three, two, one.